Hello, how are you?
Good.
There are none?
No, I'll get
them. Oh, you have to put them in. Okay, well, that would help. Ah, you're good, sir. Good? Okay, cool. And I don't need to press anything, right? Okay. Jackie.
Breathe in, breathe out.
No, it's just this change of weather and being outside. You know, interestingly enough, I went to the dog thing. The city had a dog thing at the ACPS.
Right.
And I went, and I think as I get older that I am becoming allergic to certain kinds of dogs. Yeah. Old age.
You don't know what old age is.
So, yeah, my signs, I went for a run this morning, and they were cutting grass, and I came back, and
that'll
I started
it.
Sniffling. Oh. Let's see. Yeah, I took some Allegra, and it is now, okay, so we're running up there. I think we're good. I'm not sure when they're coming on, but. All right, if they come, when they come, I just really have questions for those here, and then I can't wait to integrate my stuff with the things that you have. So, let's call this, it is about six after. This is picking me up, right, Steve? I don't need to touch anything.
Here.
Is it green?
Yeah, it is. Just want to make sure we got it on the record so we can... We're good?
Yeah, just a little closer. Maybe.
Gotcha. Okay. Thanks, everyone, for being here. This will not be an incredibly long meeting because I think we have most of the details that we need for this. I'm looking forward to partner with our North Florida partners so that we can do the work of compiling all the data that we've gotten from these meetings. But I wanted to... have a final meeting so that I could find and see what's there from those that have not been at the public parts of these meetings. So if we can, I'd love for us to go around the room and introduce ourselves. I know I was expecting a few people to pop in on cam, and I'll tell you about some of the exploits and travels that I've been able to do and go to jails in other parts of the country and other parts of the state. And those reports, which will be public record once I finish them, which I'm going to pass on so that they can be included in the final report. So if everyone could go around the room and introduce themselves, I'll start. I am Rockman Johnson, Jacksonville City Council, District 14, and chair of this working group.
Michael Boylan, District 6, and chair of the JSO Primary Services Committee.
Andrew Powers, Executive Assistant, Councilman Rockman Johnson, District 14.
And if you don't mind, just so we know who's in the audience, if you'll tell us who you are and what organization you're with, you're able to pick that up from out there, right?
If they're allowed.
Okay, cool.
David Sicali, intern with the Northeast Florida Regional Council.
Tyler Nolan, Northeast Florida Regional Council.
Annie Seeger, Northeast Florida Regional Council.
Colleen Hansen, Council Research.
Kevin Gall, Director of JSO Corrections.
Gabriel Morgan, Lieutenant of JSO Corrections.
Joe Ross, board member, treasurer, Northside Coalition.
Brooks Dame, executive council assistant for Councilmember Jimmy Beluso, Council District 7.
And we also have two staff members here who are keeping us together, so thank you so much, Maritza and Steve. We appreciate it. All right, so in order for us to do this work, it's been incumbent to not only have these public meetings and conversations, but I've taken it upon myself to actually do some travel. I had the opportunity to go to the Los Angeles County Jail, down to the Orange County Jail, and over in Houston. Dallas, to the jail there. We had the individual, James Washington, who runs healthcare for that jail, to come on one of our video conferences, but I thought it was quite innovative and unique, some of the things that they were doing. The one thing I will tell you is that the jail that I found that was going to probably be most akin to what we need to have here is the Orange County Jail down in Orlando. The facility seemed to be very modern. It was almost as if, now granted, there was the jail, I think, is only about 20 years old. I think they said 15 or 20 years old. But they are not a vertical kind of facility. So because of that, they could add in different spaces and use different spaces in different ways. Having that kind of facility allowed them to close down one part, work through the other part, and still have their operations moving. They seem to be pretty successful. They were actually shocked at the number of people that had medical incidents or that lost their life in our jail facility here. However, them understanding how our facility is put together, and one of the things that was most shocking for them is the fact that we farmed out our medical provider ship. That is something that they do in-house. While I'm not a complete fan of having it in-house, I do understand what they said about having those employees to be able to do that. So in my opinion, and you'll see those reports when the final meeting comes out, and I'll have Councilman Boylan talk about the next meeting of the entire working group later on in in our agenda. So I will be sharing those. The three, obviously, working group charges were mental, behavioral, physical, and spiritual health. I asked questions to them about it, and most of them found it interesting. Most of the other, as we did with committees here, and I've also interviewed certain member clergy, which you'll see in the report, but they found it interesting that the jail itself would deal with not just incarcerating the individual, but truly rehabilitating the individual, even though it was just a pretrial detention facility. In some ways, those people that are there stay for longer than some of them end up, because of the time that they're supposed to go to court, their sentences or the time they spend in the facility is a lot longer. And so one of the things that it seemed as though would be helpful was because some of them end up coming out of that, going to court, and that is time served for the offense. So let's not just let them sit there, but what can we do to rehabilitate them? We were also fortunate to have a contractor on to look at some of the new ways that facilities are constructed, which I shared with those people that I went to see the other facilities. And in going there, they were really excited when they talked about colors and using natural lighting and things like that because of the calming features that they could have on inmates. So I want to start questioning if there are members of this group. I know, Mr. Ross, I invited you specifically from the Northside Coalition because I had talked with Ms. Frazier, your president, and prior to his death, Mr. Frazier, before this process even started, about some of the issues that the Northside Coalition thought that were important, especially for the African-American community. So I especially wanted you to be at the table. And then the team from the sheriff's office, I wanted to make sure that I had the top brass, so to speak, not just those who were using the facilities here, to ask a few questions on the record. So I'd like to start with you, Director, if I may, if you could come up for a moment. First of all, I want to say I wish I could write a check and give you $1 billion, but that's what it's probably going to cost to build this new facility. But the time that you spent with me, walking me through the facility, taking me step by step, we spent a few hours together, and I really got a chance to see behind the scenes. And one of the reasons why we added in, if you'll notice where it says mental, behavioral, physical, and spiritual health of inmates and teammates, because one of the things I noticed on my tour with the director is the fact that while I was there, there were so many teammates who were there for inordinate amounts of time in rooms, the pods or the command control pods with, there was mold growing. There were things falling apart, and it was of no fault of their own. So I must say that you and your team must be commended, and every time I get a chance to say that publicly, the work you do, I just don't know how you do it and stay sane, which is why I wanted to make sure we included inmates and teammates. But let me ask you this, and this is a $1 million question. What does the jail of the future look like to you?
All right, well, first I want to thank you for the hard work. You and Councilman Bull and everybody else been putting in on this project. It's I think, very worthwhile, but I appreciate the time and effort you put in. I know it's not easy. I appreciate all of your time away from here visiting the other facilities. So just in my mind, I know it'll be up to the city council and builders and architect, but in my mind, I see the new facility mirroring Hillsborough County as one that I like. And they have separate buildings. Over about 150 acres. So these buildings, there's a building that's an infirmary, there's a building that's a juvenile, there's a female building, there's a mental health building, there's a mental health step-down building. So they have all these buildings that they kind of segregate the population according to what their needs are. So that's something I think would be very good. And in that concept of having these separate buildings, if 15, 20 years from now we decide we need our population, unfortunately, to be growing in jail, maybe we need we wouldn't have to build a whole new jail. We just have to add on a building or two to bring us up to, you know, the ability to hold the capacity of whoever's incarcerated. But in my mind, I also see that we have the programs available for the inmates. If they're in the mental health, we have the mental health counselors there. We make sure they're getting their medications on a regular basis and following through on from there, getting them where they need to be mentally to either face a charge or get released.
Speaking of that, and if anyone has questions, please jump in. But speaking of that, one of the things I've heard is about trauma-informed facilities. What are your thoughts about that? And is that something that we need to pursue? Obviously, our goal is to focus on what the physical needs are, right? What are the rooms that are needed? How does it look? So I appreciate that. But one of the words or the phrases that keeps coming up, trauma-informed, is that something that you think that our system could benefit from creating in that space as well?
That's something I'd have to research more because I'm not super familiar with that term, trauma-informed, but that's something I could research and let you know. But
I'd like to know what you think when you get an opportunity. Yes. Also, one of the other things was that I noticed in the Orange County facility, which I've heard I hadn't had a chance to get to, and that's a whole other conversation. I didn't know that we could get some funds, so I kind of did all that on my own dime. And I heard, well, you should have asked the president, could you, you know, let him pay for it? So who knew? But I've heard about the Hillsborough County Jail. I heard it's a really state-of-the-art facility. So I look forward to seeing it because this work doesn't end with this meeting. And, you know, there's going to be more work to do. The Orange County facility, though, has limited spaces where they can do treatment of certain medical things right there on site. Right. So they don't have to. I think one of the expenses that we talked about was if there's something that goes wrong, you've got to transport them over to Shands and then back, and then the resources it takes and the vehicles and the security and all that. Is it your belief that we also need to have certain units, and I'm excluding mental health from this, that are there where you can do certain medical procedures there? On site. What I mean is at the new facility.
Yes. In my mind, we would have an infirmary. Hillsborough County has an infirmary. Okay. And just for instance, it just happened today, but we've had 5 rescue calls to the jail.
Today?
Today alone, where they've transported inmates out to Shands, or UFL, sorry. So we had an infirmary. We could provide a higher level care for the inmate there, and it would reduce the transportation costs going to the hospital. It also helped, I think, alleviate some of the indigent care costs that the city pays for the indigent care for the inmates. I think we could eliminate some of that. Now, on the flip side of that, we can eliminate that cost, but I'm sure the healthcare provider would want more in terms of providing higher quality medical care. Doctors, but at Hillsborough, they have a building that's an infirmary, and they have hospital beds in there for people that are not able to their hospital provides a bed.
Yes.
So they're able to give them treatment there. I believe Hillsborough can even do dialysis there. So they provide a much higher quality of care than we can at Argyle based upon our facility.
Let me ask you as well your thoughts, and obviously this is not, if you have any thoughts, please add, and you know, we want to get as much information as we can. When it comes to the facility, remember I told you that going back to Orange County, because it was the one that just seemed to be most modern of the ones I visited, they had their, and I'm not going to hold you to this, I know you're not the sheriff, and that's the determination for them. But as I told you, they felt that it was more prudent to have their teams working for the city or the sheriff's office as opposed to being an independent contractor. What do you think your force sees as, you know, an optimal solution for providing those services for the people that are there?
Okay. So I can't speak for the sheriff.
Yes.
The sheriff will want to move on this. But
correct.
In my opinion, there's pros and cons to each. I know in time past, at one point, we did have the healthcare under JSO, but I heard the problem then was having the ability to hire the nurses and keep it staffed. So then we ran into a staffing problem when it was under us. I think another negative on it being under us is that right now with that independent contractor, they inherit some of the liability for malpractice or any type of thing that goes wrong with medical treatment because that's not our specialty, it's theirs. So we're able to say, you're the medical experts, how you treat them as you see fit. If it falls back under JSO or the city, then I think the city would then inherit malpractice lawsuits if a family felt their loved one was treated wrong for their condition or anything like that. I think we would start inheriting some of that. Yeah, another issue would be the staffing. Like I said earlier, we have to make sure that if we were to inherit that, we have to pay the nurses comparable to what they're getting at the local hospitals, because if not, then we would have a problem staffing it, and that would lead to even bigger problems.
Thank you. Let me ask you, when it comes to this is kind of flipping over to the teammate side. When it comes, obviously, we're talking physical, mental, spiritual health. We talked about the gym. You saw the other plans from the jail. It would be something that they would not have to step over sandbags and feces to actually get to the gym.
Yes,
but when it comes to, because they work such long hours and they're there, what are your thoughts about having some kind of opportunity for them at the facility to be able to get checkups, get, you know, whatever to get their needs met, because they're spending a lot of time at these facilities? What are your thoughts about that?
I like it, and we're trying to do some of that stuff now. They're about to put a fence around the east lot next to the jail.
Okay.
So my hope is that we can get some picnic tables out there. So if a guy needs, like you're saying, Councilman, if a gentleman's been in the pod for so many hours and he wants to go downstairs and just get on a picnic table and just enjoy the outdoors like
yes.
Today, like today, then he can do that and kind of decompress for 5 or 10 minutes and go back in. We're also looking at trying to overhaul the officer dining area on the next contract to make it more, not so much an institutional looking dining room, which is what it looks like.
Yeah.
We'd like to get in there where they could, like in Hillsborough and Orange County, if you were in Orange County,
yep.
Their dining facility was...
It's amazing.
Yes.
Yes.
Like,
a restaurant.
Yes, a restaurant.
Yep.
Or like if you're in a hospital, you go in the hospital, it's like just a great... nice place to sit down and eat and
yeah.
Just, like you said, decompress for a couple of minutes and just get your mind off what you just saw or had to do. And that's my vision for like an officer area, dining room / just a place you can relax and you know, let down your guard just for a few minutes. But it was, their two dining facilities, I was just in amazement.
Yeah.
And the staff were very welcoming. Probably not the best nutrition. They had great cookies and orange.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Yeah. Pizza. Oh, they had some great choices. Yeah.
And I think that would be very to help the people get a break while they're on duty. I know long hours, like you're saying. So I think any type of respite we give them throughout the day will help them and help them feel better about the job and the work they do, and hopefully help their interaction with inmates where it's not so tense, so they're more relaxed.
And speaking of that, on that same, and I'm going to get to intake in just a moment, and the design, because again, we're really focused on the facilities and how, you know, making sure we integrate all this. When it comes to mental health for the teammates, meaning your team, as well as the physical health. If we put a facility in something, some small area, obviously a respite area is important, but let's say we put an area in for them to go visit a mental health provider or go and get a checkup if they hurt something or feel a little off or whatever, would the teams, would they use it? What do you think? Be honest. I mean, this is just friends.
Depends on who staffs it.
Okay.
If we have our hired medical provider in there, I believe it would be used. Right now,
You mean the current, like...
Our current medical provider does see officers
okay.
For emergencies. If their blood pressure feels up, they'll check their blood pressure to see if they need to be taken out, take their temperature, something minor stuff like that. Give them a COVID test since COVID came up.
Yeah.
We don't want the spread of COVID, especially by officers or our team. So they are doing some of that now.
But it's not
how
formalized.
How much more are we looking to, were you looking to add?
Well, my hope is, again, as we look at designing what the, obviously the programs that happen, that's on you. That's on the sheriff and on the administration of the actual sheriff's department. Our charge, though, is to see what that facility will look like. And for me specifically, mental, spiritual, physical for inmates, but teammates as well. That's why I added it in. So my thing is if we in that space decide or recommend that there be a special area for teammates to go, not just respite, but to get either mental health counseling privately or physical assessments, is it worth, you know, I don't want to go and let's say it adds an extra right now. I came into this process thinking, literally, and I'll tell you, maybe I'm just a weird guy. I'm thinking, oh, it'll be a good $400 million, maybe. I don't know. Exactly. And now, once I had meetings and been other places, they were like, you're talking just under $1 billion, if not a billion.
Yeah, probably a little more than that
By the time we get to it. So the question that I've got is, to think is I don't want to go and recommend that we put a wing or a suite or two for the officers to go for mental and or physical health work that could cost a few $1 million to put this space in and then nobody goes there. Is it necessary?
I would encourage us to try to have that.
Yeah.
Like maybe just, and it could be just something as simple as if you've been to the library, you know, have a library and they have these little separate rooms you can reserve. It's got a table, maybe 8 chairs, maybe like a larger classroom and then some individual room where we could have like lunch and learns on financial planning. We do have EAP through a doctor, Dr. Jacob. We could have her schedule come in on maybe on Thursday a month or on Friday a month, mental health Thursday. If you want to go talk to her, she'll hear from a certain
time to time.
You know,
yeah. But having that facility is really important to the team.
I think we could. And I think, you know, we could also have, I know the city does this, where they have like wellness days where they bring in all the healthcare provider from Florida Blues. They bring Florida Blues, they take your blood pressure and cholesterol, and they check you up and you answer them questions. That kind of stuff. They have insurance and other, you know, extra insurance available, life insurance.
Yes, sir.
Then we can bring them in and give them a place where they can have those available to them. I think that would be good.
Okay. I want to flip over in Orange County. One of the things that there is, this was a really innovative thing. I don't know that we do this in intake. This was so interesting. And Dr. Davis, by the way, we have Dr. Ken Davis. Ken, if you want to jump in, I will have some questions for you. But Dr. Davis is a PhD in criminal justice. He's also a retired police officer and has done stuff all over the country. So really honored to have you here. Thank you, Ken. And I guess I can call you Ken now that I'm Dr. Johnson, too. So thank you, man. And a former colleague of mine at Edward Waters, but really smart guy and criminal justice well-respected. When I was in Orange County, they had there's a bay that you can come in that they bring the people from outside. Because remember, unlike us, they're not consolidated, so they have all those agreements with the cities around that are bringing people to the Orange County Jail. There's a bay that they come into that's almost out outside. It's like an outside bay that they're able to search the inmates before they come in, and they almost triage them with medical questions really before they get into the facility. What are your thoughts about something like that? I thought that was pretty innovative, and I thought it would also be a cost saving because, honestly, it's a carport, right? But they were able to push people in, and it not just cost saving, but you go in, you're asking the questions. Now, can you diagnose tuberculosis or something like that from a question? No. But they have a litany of questions that they ask, and the first person that they see once they get out of the vehicle and they're searched for any contraband or weapons is the nurse before they even get into the building. What are your thoughts about that?
We as Orange County, we like that very much.
Mm-hmm.
So they're basically asking the inmate or the arrestee 10 or 15 questions. Have you been in a car wreck? Are you injured? Do you have any injuries of any kind? Like you said, probably a COVID question would come up mm-hmm. nowadays, or other type of questions, like immediate health kind of questions.
Before
you're even in the door.
Mm-hmm.
So we've tried to implement that with NavCare, where we do now have when staffing allows, a nurse right outside of the major intake.
Okay.
Right inside, it's inside the jail, but they have 10 or 15 questions to ask them right away, and then we determine, can we keep them in our facility, or do they need to go to the hospital because they've been in a car wreck and he did black out or was unconscious, so we might need to send him out so he doesn't fall out in here.
So you like that idea, though, having that drive-in, because it's almost like, yes. I hate to use this term, but like a drive-through situation. They drive in, they do it, and drive on out.
So now we're not letting the patrol officers go until there's a nurse back there until they've cleared the arrestee, and then we let them go. If not, they go back out to patrolman, which saves us manpower.
In my report, there's also a machine, and I can't think of it, the name of it. When you come into that area, there's a machine that they stand in that does like a scan. You know what I'm talking about? It's in my report, the name of it. I didn't see it when I went to visit with you guys. Do we have that here?
We have a live scan after they're searched in we call it the fifth major intake area. They're searched, now they're changed into a uniform, and they stand on the scanner, and it sends them through, and it scans them for weapons and some drugs, but it's very hard to detect small amounts of drugs. But we are there, we'll put on a scanner, everybody comes in.
But that machine is something that we need, because it takes up space.
It takes up space, and as most machines are, pretty expensive.
Pretty big, but I just was thinking, if we do that, because as I make these recommendations, we also want to say to this, whoever the contractor is, here are the things that we need, you know, that could be.
Yes, sir.
You can't just stick it in a room like this.
Yes, sir. And one thing I liked at Orange and Hillsborough.
Sure.
Is they have almost like a DMV type setting. Like at Hillsborough, once you come in the back door, you're searched, you change into uniform, you go sit, and then you might be called up for a booking question, mm-hmm. you might be called up for property, you might be called up to get your wristband, you might be called up for medical. So right now, due to the layout of our facility, it's very linear. Like you get searched, then you go to property, and you wait for property to finish, and then you go around the booking. And so now we're trying to morph it where booking can be done or medical can be done because they're right next to each other. But in the Hillsborough setting, those areas have their own queue, so they would take everybody out of their queue and finish them. And then you're on to the next queue. So you're not waiting on one person to go to the next. It's more like, okay, I go here, then I go there. And while doing that, somebody else can go somewhere else.
So you like that concept where it's kind of like an open, like a waiting room.
Yes.
And then you see your name on the thing, and you can go over.
Yes.
I thought it was.
Yep. So they can call up Johnson for booking.
Yes.
They can call up Johnson to come get your own rent.
Yes, yes.
And so it is foreign to go in our system and being new to corrections, seeing us and then seeing this open bay.
People just kind of, because it seemed like they were
very calm.
Very calm, because it was like there was trust.
Yes. And, I'm like, so what happened when somebody shows out of here? And they said, oh, we got a couple of home cells in the back.
Move
them in there, leave them for 15, 20 minutes, they calm down, we bring them back out. They shoot back out, we put them back in there, and we process them faster. And I was just amazed at that, but I loved how that seemed to reduce the tension.
Yes.
And they're not waiting a certain amount of time to see medical or booking.
Nor are they, like, cuffed or... No. They were literally, and that was so interesting to me when you see them, Councilman, mm-hmm. sitting there. Like they were at a waiting room going to the doctor.
Yes.
And they were very docile and very calm. And, you know, when I walked by, good afternoon. It was like I was just at a doctor's office.
Yeah. If you were to take a picture
yeah.
of Hillsborough, Yeah. And I just show you the picture, even though that's besides the correctional office, you know, it's a jail, DMV, a hospital waiting room, urgent care waiting room, because they're just sitting there waiting to be called. And I love the flexibility that if one area is backed up, another area can go ahead and
push them through. So that needs to be in our design. In that way.
Yes.
Can I comment on that?
Please, please, Councilman. Please.
First of all, I want to commend you. You're doing exactly what the intent of this committee is. Number one, understand our current deficits, if you will, and the expectations and the wishes of those who manage these facilities, and then looking at some of the best practices out there. So I think that's really exactly what we're looking for. And this is the beginning of a very long journey. We get down to specifics at some point in time. But I look forward to your recommendations to say we need X, Y, and Z as part of the consideration as we move forward. I want to take a quick step back. As you know, we are looking, a different working group, looking at the relocation of the sheriff's office. And we talked about this during the meeting with UF Health about the prospect and the need for an infirmary at the existing facility, because realistically we're looking at 5 to 7 years before we see a transition. Hopefully some of that will happen sooner rather than later in some portion. And I think there is a consensus among all of us that we're looking at something much like Hillsborough, you know, a large campus-like facility that has sequestered areas based upon need, not because necessarily security, which I think is a consensus where all of us are coming to. But the urgent need of an infirmary in existing facility, I know you've got very limited capacity to treat in folks when they come, are brought in for intake. And the prospect of relocating the sheriff's office sooner rather than later creates an opportunity, not the least of which is parking that we've talked about before in a different department, a different working group, but also the opportunity to create, hopefully, a greater emphasis on the facility for medical infirmary kind of space. Do you envision, and as you look around your facility, and I don't know well enough to say, I mean, if we relocated the corrections officers into the sheriff's office, for example, and that kind of space, is there an area within the jail that can be convertible into an infirmary so that we could do something like that? I think it's something we want to take a look at, either on that side or on the other side in the sheriff's office per se, to say we've got to have, because we don't have that right now. And as you said, as soon as you realize there's a health issue, you put them in a car and you take them over to UF Health, and that really isn't cost-effective or efficient or obviously necessary, possible, something that's helpful to the person being incarcerated. But give some thought to the prospect of how do we take advantage of the vacated space immediately adjacent to the jail in the short term to address medical issues. And to your point, all levels of that, physical, mental, and spiritual for both sides, inmates and teammates. So give some thought to that.
Yes, sir. I think of those two options. If there's a way we could convert space in the jail for infirmary, it would be better. Of course,
agreed.
We work our current contract. They just put an infirmary at the PMB once it's vacated. I think I don't know if that truly worked because of just how the PMB is laid out.
Absolutely. But maybe move. You've got a kitchen over there. You've got everything. So if you move the corrections officers over there and you vacate that space, can that be converted into a medical facility of some sort?
I'll
give some thought to that. We'll need to take a look at that because I think that's something that could happen as early as next year. It's really important for us to focus on that.
How long are they going to be? And I don't know whether you know the answer to this. I mean, obviously, we just gave that appropriation for
the repairs.
Yeah. How long is it going to be before they make the transition over to Riverside Avenue?
It may not necessarily be Riverside. They're looking at a number of different locations now because there are three or four others, frankly, that are viable solutions to that same problem. But it's probably...
But I thought, aren't we definitely putting the headquarters at Riverside Avenue?
We're not definitely putting it, no.
It's one of the sites being considered.
I got you.
Multiple sites.
The nine meeting you allowed us to have, they had a maintenance meeting yesterday, and looking at what projects they can go ahead and start. And I think the one is...
Yes, the $9 million is really make immediate repairs to the existing facility, period. In the working group on the police memorial meeting, the sheriff's office moving it, there are three or four locations now that are being brought into consideration. It's not automatic. But it's sooner rather than later.
Didn't you remember seeing something on the agenda, this is more council stuff. Councilman, didn't I see something where...
We moved a couple of the divisions over there. They're already there.
We signed a lease, exactly.
So this is really, there's a greater capacity there to handle most of what we need.
So we're still looking at the...
Still looking at that.
The top brass being over there.
Correct.
The whole police station.
Yeah.
Seeing everybody. I think I walked you through it that day.
Uh-huh.
Everybody over there. The one Councilman Boylan referring to is that the officers that are at 7-Eleven North Liberty, Homeland Security, Narcotics Unit.
Those are moving now.
Yeah.
Right. Final for the major police station. Police Memorial Building.
Still down the.
There's two or three, as you well know, a lot of vacancies in downtown.
Yeah. Well, I remember seeing that one for sure. That we voted on.
We did.
Lease for the building. I really think
we need to be able to take advantage of the vacated space in whatever best way it serves either corrections officers and providing them the kind of environment they would enjoy. As importantly, or more importantly, the infirmary situation that we need to address in the existing facility.
Gotcha. I may come back to you for more questions. Mr. Ross, I did want to ask you, because I know that the Northside Coalition did have some concerns, especially with inmate deaths and things like that. What are the things that you would want to see based on your group? What parts of that facility what does it need to look like for you? Kind of the same question I asked the director.
First of all, good afternoon. Thank you, Councilman Dr. Johnson, and those in attendance to give me this opportunity to speak. First, please allow me to put my comments in context. As an African-American black male born and raised in Jacksonville, Florida, and speaking from experience, I do not trust JSO. Now, to speak to the subject matter, we're asking the police to have compassion for the health and real health of prisoners. It's like asking to capture those that have captured someone, and they're under arrest, to be concerned about the health welfare of the prisoners. I don't know how that works. But getting past that, pre-trial holistic facility. I don't really know what that looked like, but maybe in an effort to understand how we get from where we are now with inmates, death, those that are in the custody of JSO, it is almost a death sentence to get arrested. And I want to also clarify that some of my comments represent Northside Coalition, and some of my comment is personal. To help me understand, do you feel everyone that's in jail deserve to be in jail? Is there a substance circumstance whereby someone can find themselves in jail for a misdemeanor, find themselves in jail incarcerated for not having insurance, license suspended, and The best way is for me to ask questions to gain understanding. It is my vision, and again, born and raised in Jacksonville, it's my vision that this city can be a city of unity and love with everything I've experienced in the past. These days, any black man walking the streets of Jacksonville, driving the streets of Jacksonville, could be considered, in our opinion, a violation, because you can get pulled over just for being black. And if anyone feel like that's not a true statement, I will step back and let you respond to that.
May I jump in?
Mm-hmm.
I do want to ask you a couple questions. While I do know the charges about the facility, and I'm going to ask you a question about the facility, I would not be... let me step back as well. I had a conversation with someone who is pretty high ranking in the police department, and the individual happened to be a friend and happened to be white. And who was also just, you know, involved in government. And the conversation I had was when I was a kid. I was a tall kid, and one of the conversations that my mother had with me was, and I was, like I said, pretty tall, don't run. If you're coming out of the store, walk. Always put stuff in a paper bag or a plastic bag. You know, if you're going to the store, make sure that you walk out of the store with stuff in a bag. I get it. It was obviously growing up in the 80s. I'm dating myself, but growing up in the 80s, it was a different time. I think things are somewhat different now. But if I could challenge you, I would not be. So I know what you mean. I remember when a few years ago, President Barack Obama, I think it was during the young man from Jacksonville, forgive me, Jordan Davis.
Mm-hmm.
He said that could have been, if I had a son, it would be Jordan Davis's age. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess my question to you is, there are perceptions that, you know, there were, and my white friend said, you know, my parents didn't have to have that conversation with me that your parents had to have with you. So I certainly get what you're saying. But the only way for us to move forward is to, I'm not saying forget, but to do, which is one of the reasons why I invited you, to do exactly what we're doing now, having the conversation, sitting down, talking to see what we can learn from mistakes of the past and how we can plan for the future. While I do appreciate those comments, my question to you, though, is, and if you could keep it short, because I just want to ask you this, is there a way, understand your issues, and I'm not trying to gloss over them. Your first statement said, I don't trust the JSO. And again, this is just a little of a side, so just give me a moment. What can JSO do to change that for you? And I'm using you as, because you represent the Northside Coalition, and you do have people, lots of which, that show up to city council meetings and committee meetings and all of that. Based on the conversations I've had with Ms. Frazier and others, you're not alone in your sentiment. I've had conversations where I've had to advocate vociferously for the police officers to say, just give them a chance. I want to get back on this, but quickly, how can that perception be changed?
Citizen Review Board, some third party, independent, someone from the community or a group or body or somebody that's not JSO investigating in that JSO.
So what we know is that citizen review boards, based on Florida law, from my understanding, it's not possible. Okay. Am I correct in that? From what I understand, because we're consolidated city and county government, officers or directors, please tell me if I'm wrong on this. We can't do that here because of the law. So excluding that, what other ways are there so that we can get past the, well, I don't trust them? How can we work to do that? And that's something I'm willing to go talk to the sheriff about or what have you, because it does disproportionately. When I've done this work, the data that I see is that there are more people that look like me that are in the facility than not. Mm-hmm. I'm very sensitive to that fact. So I want to make sure that those individuals, regardless of the situations that they have in their lives, whether it be mental or physical or what have you, they're taken care of. Everybody, of course, but, you know, there's a lot that look like me with issues that were compounded. Is there anything besides Citizen Review Board, since that would take a change on the state level, that we can do here as the council, as the sheriff's office, as the regional planning council, as all of us together? What can we do to find the synergy? And we may not be able to answer that now. You know, you may have to.
I've got an answer.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, and bear with me, because that's a legitimate question. And while you were formulating the question, I was thinking, what is it that can be done to repair?
Yes.
That's first of all.
Yes.
Because you have to say that because you have to accept the fact that it happens. If you don't accept the fact that it happens, then we don't have a problem. I got the problem. We're going to have to I don't have the answer or the title or the terminology that's going to describe what I'm saying, other than to say that there has to be some legitimate other body that we can establish that holds the policing agency of our city accountable for acts that are questionable. And I'm going to stop there because, again, I'm influenced by the events of deadly force used against black men that are unarmed. And I ask the question, when is it necessary to use deadly force on an unarmed person? And I can't get past that when you ask me about a detention field facility that's holistic, that's going to address the well-being of prisoners. Okay. And that is what I'm pointing to myself now. If I leave here and get pulled over, depending on my reactions, will determine whether I walk away from that stop or go to jail. And I'm trying to be as professional as I can, but my emotions come into play. I want to, here's what I would, if I gave you a vision of Jacksonville, the city of unity and love, that's too busy making money to hate. That's my vision of Jacksonville, a community that shares prosperity with everyone. That when Jacksport get a new contract and we start making money, everybody benefit. So I regress from our subject matter. The facility, good intention. The thing that you can do that allows me to develop trust in JSO. Maybe I need to sit down with TK and ask him the same question that I heard ask Mike Williams and hear his answer. And that is, when is it necessary to gun down a black, unarmed black man?
Gotcha. Councilman, and then we'll jump back on topic, but I know you had
I do want to speak to this. As you may recall, you weren't on the council at the time. Obviously, after the Floyd incident, we hate to call it an incident because it was more than that. We hosted a special committee. I'd asked Council President Hazuri at the time, put together the Safer Together Committee. that focused Councilmember Morgan and I. And to Mr. Ross's point, it got emotional for a lot of folks and way too emotional. But I will tell you this, and people thought there was like one or two meetings. There were countless meetings that went for countless hours with Director Bruno at the time, who was number two in the process. Well, he was an undersheriff, but he was direct high up in the process. And we walked away from every one of those lengthy discussions, and he said to me, Michael, it's just, I have learned something from each one of these meetings. And so what I was advocating for, to your point, was a citizens, not an incident review board, but a policy review board. Because what we saw happening was, to your point of building trust, is bringing these two entities closer together, those who feel disaffected, who are disaffected by their relationship with the JSO. I know we're off on a rabbit here, but I think that's something we could take a look at again. And I stepped away from that because it got to be incident review board or nothing else, and that wasn't going to fly, and I knew it wasn't going to fly. I did a lot of homework on those across the country. They don't work traditionally because of the legal system that it implies, et cetera, et cetera. I won't get into all that. But I think in answer to your question, going back to this facility, I think the answer came from Director Goff. You know, what we can do to rehabilitate those in there. It isn't about just incarceration. It's about rehabilitation and, you know, an outcomes-based situation that we take these folks who are coming in innocent until proven guilty or those found guilty and say, how do we make this a better, more productive person in our community? I can't rely on JSO to do that unilaterally. And our responsibility is to give them the facilities that they can do that with, that it can be done with, in partnership with other organizations that get their expertise in that kind of way. So I think in saying when you go into, to your point, when you walk into a facility, it's a professional facility, that you're treated like a fellow citizen, in a, you know, a customer, a constituent, a client that comes into this facility. Yes, you made a mistake or whatever. Maybe if you're a really bad guy, that's a different story, but to your point, I think we're seeing a lot of folks in there, 70% we learned, are on some level of medication at any given time. So a lot of their cause of their actions are a result of their mental, physical, and perhaps even spiritual condition. So I think that getting that kind of mindset in place in us, in our task here, is to provide them the facilities that we can do that. It really is the path we need to take.
Gotcha. Dr. Davis, I noticed you had your hand up, please. And thank you again, Mr. Ross. I know we... Thanks, everybody, too, for listening. And please, gentlemen, if you want to jump in, I wanted to make sure that we have an opportunity, even though this is not our specific charge, I think having that discourse that we just had was so important. Dr. Davis.
Yes, thank you so much. just listening and understanding some of the concerns about, you know, citizen mistrust, I think the facility, the building of the facility, as the director was speaking of early, the layout of the facility, whereas you have an open base or waiting room area, I've seen that operate in different other large metropolitan area. I think that lends itself to better, you know, experience for the citizens, because what happens is that everybody that goes to jail is not going to stay in jail. So the process that they go through, we shouldn't make it traumatic, or it shouldn't be a high tension filled situation. Somebody could be arrested for a bad check. They could be arrested for incident at a, you know, soccer mom's, you know, quit somebody at a game. It could be anything, right? So we want to have this environment as humane as possible, whereas people have every opportunity possible to bond out before they're, you know, put into regular population. So, and you want that area, that waiting intake area, to be as de-stressed as possible. So the layout of it, which the director spoke of, like in Tampa, I've seen it in Fulton County, in Atlanta, when we first did it in Atlanta, everybody said it's not going to work. It's like a bus stop. Everybody eating popcorn and out in the open, and they thought everybody was going to be fighting. But that's not the case, right? The people who are problem people, they're put into areas. You have cells where they can be put into if someone's having a mental health crisis or, you know, having some type of outrage, or if it's a person that needs to be transferred. They just picked up on an out-of-county warrant. You don't want them mixing. So you have specific holding areas for people that are problems or people that you won't, don't want mixing. But I think having that open space where people are sit out, they're able to like have that waiting room area, they can get their name called, go up. That takes away from the negative experience, right? The negative interaction, being arrested in itself is very traumatic, right? So you don't want as much as you can avoid that experience as it can be as positive as possible, helps the community relations with the sheriff's office. If they feel like they're arrested and then they get there and they feel like they're flustered, you know, they're rushed through the system, they're crammed, they're waiting, it's not comfortable, then, you know, that creates a very negative experience and perception, which, you know, perpetrates that they're being mistreated from the beginning to the end. So I think the experience that a person has, the humanity, when they are arrested, right, because the majority of people are going to bond out, right? Majority of people are not sitting in jail forever. They're going to bond out. So that short period of time that they're there, they should get the same treatment that President of the United States got when he got arrested, right? It should be similar experience. They should go through, every citizen should be treated the same, but it should be a humane experience. Now, if somebody comes in acting a fool, then you got to have the location and the space to handle that, or if somebody just committed something heinous. But I think it's really important that that actually helps build that confidence back, that we are being treated in general, people are being treated, you know, fairly, and that experience is something that, you know, goes with them. So,
Dr. Davis,
but that's what I wanted to add.
I want to ask you this academically, because obviously you've had the practical experience being in jails, but you also are looking at best practices when it comes to going to conferences and doing the research. On the academic side, when it comes to criminal justice, is there a best practice when it comes to what that facility should be? Obviously, you're saying the open air case, which is, like I see, I saw it. It was beautiful and it worked well. It's, people were really docile. But I'm also thinking, I've heard you say something a couple of times about bonding out. Is there something, like maybe, are you saying that, I'm assuming that there may be some area that needs to be provided where we can kind of focus on for those nonviolent offenders or people that may have committed misdemeanors to try to keep them from having to go through the full process? Is that what I hear? Like, that should be a part of the facility?
No. The environment is supposed to be so comfortable that they're basically sitting there waiting to bond out, like they're waiting at the doctor's office to see a doctor.
I got you. Okay.
So I want everybody to have that experience, whether they're going upstairs to, you know, and they can't bond out, or whether they're being bonded out. So I want everybody to have the same experience. But that process of, you know, God forbid if I was to get arrested, hopefully my wife would come get me, right? But it takes time, right? So they have to go through this bonding process. So they may be sitting there. I know that's been an issue also with bonding times, you know, getting people in and getting people out of jail, right?
Right.
So sometimes because of that setup and the structure and the processes and the facility constraints, you know, agencies don't have the time needed or the layout to help them with that process, where people who are not going to jail or not going to stay, they end up dressing out, wasting time, going upstairs, and then basically, you know, they turn around and bond out
two, three hours
later, right?
Yeah.
Because it's so crammed in the back that they have to keep the bodies moving. I don't know how to say it any other way, but you almost, if you don't have the proper facilities, you kind of got to keep the bodies moving, because then it becomes a security issue, right? So in different spaces, when you have more space in that intake area, that's why the size of it is important. You can give people more time if they have somebody that's bunding them out, so you can work with them, so they know they're bunding out. The bunding company already said the process is starting. Sometimes, you know, they still go upstairs. So if you can avoid that, then I think that helps. But the facility structure matters.
I want to ask you this, and Mr. Ross, I'm going to come back to you as well. But Dr. Davis, if you notice, and you and I have talked about this before, one of the reasons I wanted it to be holistic facilities is because I wanted to also talk about the spiritual aspect of things. Do there need to be some spaces in there for spiritual aspects, yoga, meditation, the reverend clergy to come in. What are your thoughts about that for both inmates and teammates, and does that need to be incorporated as a part of the facility that they can go into and hopefully find their way to a better space through that?
Funding permitted, I mean, I think you should look at it from a perspective of the deputies and correction officers and staff that's working there. That's their workplace. So if you don't take care of them, then they're not going to take care of the inmates, right? So you got to take care of your employees first. So if their work environment is comfortable, then they're going to be more apt to do a better, a more professional job, which is, you know, what I believe. But spiritual, I think, you know, we have to look at that. I know with financial constraints, but if you have the opportunity financially, I think medical is priority. Then after the medical, you know, the security, then medical, then you can look at adding things like spiritual counseling or different other resources to help them going in and coming out. You may have brochures, pamphlets on drug treatment, rehabilitation services. You may have a chaplain walk around saying, can I pray for you, right? Do you want to come to my church when you get out, right? This, I'm sure you have ministers that will do it. It won't cost the county any money, right? So I think that could be something that added value if you can use prison ministries to come in and you know, pray for offenders if they want, or to just connect them with services when they get out. These people all have to be pre-screened, of course, but I think those resources are valuable resources to a community, because anything that helps that person, you know, break the cycle of, you know, incarceration is really important. And I think those resources, whether mental health or spiritual resources, if the facility has space, if they can make space, I think they would be well received. But I think a lot of times the pushback is going to be, you know, can we do something else with this space? Gotcha. But I think that the trade-off is a better workspace, a better environment for the citizens. You know, if I get arrested, I would like to say, hey, JSO treated me good. I got in, I went in, they processed me, they took my picture, and then I got processed back out. It took me about three, four hours, and I was back home. And I'm able to go to court and resolve my case that way. That would be the ideal goal, right? Nobody should be there to punish the people. They're still innocent to proven guilty, right? So nobody's there to punish them. But we want to make sure that, and I don't think anybody has that intention, but I think a lot of times with the structured processes, system being overwhelmed, it can create a lot of issues. So, but as large as Jacksonville is, and I'm going to wrap this up, as large as Jacksonville is and as fast as it's growing, you have to look at best practices in bigger cities, not just cities that are the same size, but bigger cities, because as Jacksonville becomes a bigger city, more businesses come to the area, you have to think about the future, not just the present. So that's what I want.
Thank you for that. And I want to put on the record, I really do believe that what I'm hearing, and it's kind of something I didn't see at other places, but having multi-use, multi-purpose rooms within the facility. So it's not just this is the this room or this is the that room, but having almost intermodal things that can happen in these rooms. And I think we could be on the cutting edge of innovation if we are able to put those, expand the facility enough that we can put those rooms in so that we can have them for the different spaces and places. Is there anything, Mr. Ross, and I understand your, I certainly, and I'm glad you put that on the record, but as we look at developing that facility itself, is there something, I mean, one of the things that, again, to me, having that multi-use space is something I'm a big fan of that I'm going to be pushing for, as well as that outdoor drive-through loading bay. I saw it so efficient. Is there anything that you can think of? Obviously, I know you're not an expert, but I do know that one thing that you and Mr. Frazier have talked about doing your work with the coalition is how people are treated. Is there something that you could say, I'd like to make sure we see this thing in this facility? Speaking of the building itself, obviously the way it works is planned from the sheriff's administration. But for you, what is there anything that you need to say, like, hey, I really think, based on those conversations and your constituents with the coalition?
You know, the mental state requires some attention, especially in tense situations. And, of course, if you are arrested, that's a test situation. So whatever facilities and services that we incorporate that would address the mental. I mean, we know about the physical and all the other things, but those things that show social services and those that deal professionally that deal with the psychological effect of certain aspects of being arrested, or may even be the fact that an individual got arrested because they just schizophrenic and they need to be diagnosed.
Yeah.
So yes, anything to facilitate allow that to occur,
which is space. Thank you for that. I also want to say every time I heard the director and others as I was on my tour, councilman, every time I heard them say, this is the largest mental health facility in Northeast Florida, I cringed.
That's true.
I don't like that. I don't know what we can do. And it kind of piggybacks on what you're saying, Mr. Ross. You know, and I'm sure, Director, you and I will talk about the trauma-informed facility and what that looks like and all that I've learned about in this doing this work. But this is not a mental health facility. Our corrections officers that are there are not mental health providers.
Right.
And it's true. It's not that it's not true that it's the largest mental health facility in North Florida, but it's embarrassing to me because it's not a mental health facility. So it's so oxymoronic that we say that. And if I had the panacea for it, I would probably be on a beach in Tahiti relaxing because everybody would take it and use it. I don't know what the answer is, but I hope that this work will allow us to stop saying that. Every time I hear it and I see it on the writings, it makes me cringe. So I had to kind of put that on record, and I hope this work will help us get there. Before I move on, we need to wrap this meeting up because we are a bit over, but I wanted to thank you all. First of all, Ken, thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for being here. These are great comments. We're going to synthesize them, work together to make sure that the report that we have as we report out to the larger committee is very comprehensive. So I know that we'll be working back and forth on it, but I believe it'll have everything that's needed, especially best practices from other facilities. But I can't thank you enough, Mr. Ross, for I know this may have been difficult because of experiences of your past, but one of the reasons I did reach out to you is because I have to, you know, tell you, I initially got an email when this process started from your president, Ms. Frazier, and she just didn't understand how this process could work. So I'm glad that at least we can have the tough conversation, but the conversation period, because healing and growth starts from having these conversations. If you will, Councilman Boylan, if you could give us an update
sure.
as to when the next meeting will be, and I'd love you all to please come out before we adjourn here, but please come out to that meeting where we will all report out and really get a chance to see how the sausage-making process, so to speak, will be made so that we can have a comprehensive report to really get us toward our new facility. Councilman Boylan.
Thank you. Again, my compliments on your good work. You've brought it home. You've landed it. And I do appreciate that, and I look forward to your recommendations. And the challenging part, frankly, this last conversation on intake, I'm chomping at the bit to say, well, over here in intake, they talked about this and having nonprofits immediately adjacent. When you walk out of that bonding situation, you can walk into an office that people can help you. But I get ahead of myself. So the plan right now is to have another meeting of the full committee on Tuesday, 2 weeks from this past Tuesday. I think it's the 23rd, 24th, something like that. At 1:30 in the council chambers. at which time there will be a couple of things happening. Each of the working groups will be making presentations of their findings, their recommendations, and what I would characterize as observations. For example, on the intake piece, not necessarily part of your recommendations since you're focusing on mental, physical, but it is an observation that you can certainly put into your report to say, we found, to the point of the mental anguish of walking into a traumatic situation of being, you know, arrested, how's that impact that in that process? So all the working groups, the five working groups, will be making presentations, findings, recommendations, and observations. I'm also going to have two presentations, one from the Center for Public Safety and another group, because what I've learned through the process, we are on the very first steps of a very long journey. And what goes next in that process is what we're going to spend some time at that meeting to talk about. I think probably the most important thing I see coming out of our work in the context of that is the education in informing our citizens of the onerous responsibility of managing and incarceration and the judicial process for, on a given day, 335 individuals, collectively 2,600 that are traditionally incarcerated in that facility, the manpower and women power necessary to operate it. I think people don't have an appreciation of the magnitude of that work, the cost of it, particularly, and I think there's going to be a lot of emphasis on the work that you're doing, because clearly I think there's an understanding and appreciation. We need to be looking at an outcomes-based system that moves these individuals who are in the system out of the system as quickly as possible and help them, making certain they don't ever come back. So that meeting is on Tuesday at 1:30 in the council chambers. Thereafter, Northeast Florida Regional Council then will take those recommendations, observations, and findings and coalesce them into a document. There will be a follow-up meeting of the full committee where we kind of merge and purge what they bring back to us. And hopefully by the end of March, we will have a final report to bring before the council. The active participation of JSO across the board has been very, very helpful. I know about you, but this has been very enlightening across the board. And I'm looking forward to continuing the work. And I thank you again for your leadership on this particular, in many respects, the most important of the working groups. Thank you. 27th.
We don't know what's going on, but our office is. No,
I knew it's Tuesday, the same day as the next city council meeting. I didn't know the date.
Yeah, so it's the 27th at 1:30.
Council chambers.
Thank you. Thank you for updating us to that. Do I have any questions or will there? I know I officially need to do public comment. Yes. Do we have any comment cards? Mr. Ross. Okay. Did you want to do public comment? Or are you good with what you said?
I'm good with what I've said. I think I was getting ready to talk, and it was in line with the fact that a vision that I had of our city. Love, unity, get really busy. And we already doing it. I mean, expansion in Jacksport. Number of city agencies that, and don't get me going, because I think that I'm from the past where the city agencies were working with the schools and provided career internships and apprenticeships for high school students, and that kind of gave us a leg up back in the past. When you graduated from high school, you had employable skills. You were prepared to hold down an occupation.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Thank you, everyone, for being here. And with that, we will call this meeting adjourned. Good day. Thank you.